afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. During my years at Bible college, I had to share a room with another guy about my age, just fractionally older than me. And I soon discovered that he liked listening to music. In fact, he liked listening to music pretty much all the time. He would even want to listen to music whilst he was doing his homework and writing his papers. As a result of that, I learned quite a number of the lyrics of his favourite songs. And I'm going to quote one of them to you this morning, at least part of one of them. I don't think the person that wrote this song is a Christian, though I'm not entirely sure, if I'm honest. I don't know anything about the person who wrote this song. But part of the song goes like this. If God had a name, what would it be? And would you call it to his face? If you were faced with him in all his glory, what would you ask if you had just one question? What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. If God had a face, what would it look like? And would you want to see if seeing meant that you would have to believe in things like heaven and in Jesus and the saints and all the prophets? It's an interesting song, and one wonders what's going on in the mind of the person that wrote it. What is God like? If he were to live among us, what would he be like? True, isn't it, to say that there are lots of people in this world that don't believe in God, but there are also lots who do believe in some kind of God, but are not really sure what he is like, and perceive that he's one that lives beyond the heavens that we can't really know very much about, if anything at all. Well, I wish that the songwriter was with us this morning. I wish that lots of people who don't know very much about God were with us this morning. You see, as Gareth has already told us, as the carols that we have sung have already informed us, God has come among us. He has lived among us as a man. His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. As you can see from these verses that I have just read, Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. When Joseph found out, he presumed that she had been unfaithful to him and planned to divorce her quietly. But we read in verses 20 and 21 that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and explained how these things had come about. And then in verses 22 and 23, which is where our focus is going to be this morning, we read that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was and is God. He is the God-man. I said something a little bit similar to what Gareth said to the boys and girls this morning, last Sunday evening. I was talking about how that Jesus, with respect to his human nature, as he lies in the manger in Bethlehem's stable, was pretty much helpless. He needed to be kept warm. He needed to be fed by his mother. He needed the protection of Mary and Joseph. And as time went on, as he grew, he would need Mary and Joseph to teach him how to walk and to feed himself and to clothe himself. And yet, even as he lay in the manger, with respect to his divine nature, he was upholding the universe by his powerful word. He was giving Joseph and Mary the very breath that they breathed. No wonder Gareth said to the boys and girls that we find it difficult to comprehend these things. We as adults find it difficult, if not impossible, to comprehend these things God incomprehensibly made man. Jesus was the God-man. He was the Word made flesh. He was the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwell. Now there are three things, just very briefly this morning, that I think help us to understand or appreciate that Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago upon the earth, was God, fully God. The first thing is his being conceived by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't conceived, was he, in the ordinary way. He was conceived by the powerful and mysterious work of the Holy Spirit. I think it's fair to say that if Jesus had been conceived in the ordinary way, and Joseph had been his father, as well as Mary being his mother, then it would be difficult for us to see how he could have been God. Do you notice as you turn back to verse 16 of Matthew chapter 1 that Matthew is incredibly careful in the choice of his words? He speaks about Joseph being the husband of Mary and not the father of Jesus. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The fact that Jesus was born of Mary, born of woman, helps us to see how that Jesus was a human being. A man, fully man. But the fact that he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit helps us to see that he was also God, fully God. Secondly, his life and ministry helps us to see that he was God. He knew people's hearts. He demonstrated his power over demons. He worked countless miracles. He healed the sick. He calmed the storm. He turned water into wine. He turned 5 loaves and 2 fishes into enough food to feed probably up to 20,000 people. He even caused himself to rise from the dead. And he allowed his disciples to refer to him as my God. He also said that he and his Father were one. The third thing I think that helps us to see that he was indeed God is that he is presented by Matthew, a biblical author, as the fulfillment of divine prophecy. You can see that in the verses that we're focusing on. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Well, I don't want to spend any more time on this, though one could spend a lot more time on this. Jesus was and is God. What I want to do this morning is to spend our time, or the remainder of our time, focusing upon the significance of Jesus being God. The significance of Jesus' deity for us as Christians. There are four things that I want to say. The first is this. That because Jesus was God, we can know what God is like. We can know what God is like. We can know because he has come into our world. He has lived among us. He has walked down the road, so to speak. Admittedly, he hasn't ridden the bus on his way home from work. So having said that, he did make use of popular means of transport during his day. He rode a donkey. God has come into our world and revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus. The Apostle John said in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In Jesus, God reveals himself most fully and wonderfully to us. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of the Father's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." To read about Jesus is to read about God. To know Jesus is to know God. Conversely, to reject Jesus is to reject God. Maybe that's something to bear in mind when you think about other people of different faiths. They claim to know and worship God, but if they reject Jesus, if they reject the Son, then they reject the Father. They reject God. 1 John 2, verse 23, "No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father." God is not some kind of remote deity way out there in the universe that cannot be known. No, God is one who has come into our world, revealing his grace and his truth in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you remember that occasion when Peter and others had been out fishing all night and had caught absolutely nothing? All of these men, I think, were experienced fishermen, but they hadn't caught a single fish. And then Jesus turned up. And all of a sudden, the nets were full with fish to the point of breaking. Well, we read that Peter fell at his knees, that is, Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." It seems to me that Peter becomes aware, because of the miracle that Jesus has performed, that he's in the presence of God. "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." But because Jesus was and is God, we can know what God is like. That's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is this. Because Jesus is God, we have a God who is with us every single day. Isn't that lovely? We have a God who is with us every single day. When Jesus lived on the earth for 30-something years, God lived among us. And Graham Kendrick, a well-known hymn writer, has picked up this thought, I think, well in one of his songs. Let me quote some of it to you. He walked where I walked. He stood where I stand. He felt what I feel. He understands. He knows my frailty, shared my humanity, tempted in every way, yet without sin. God with us, so close to us. God with us, Emmanuel. Here at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, we're informed that Jesus, that God, has come to dwell among us. But turn to the end of Matthew's Gospel. Indeed, turn to the very last verse in Matthew's Gospel. And here is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And this is what he says. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This Jesus is going to be with us, he's going to be with his disciples, his church, until the very end of the age. As I was preparing this sermon for this morning, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be interesting if the bullies in the playground or at work or in the community were aware of who was with us? What a difference, do you think, it would make if they were aware that Jesus, the one who's able to fling stars into space, the one who can shut the mouths of lions, is with us? Or perhaps more importantly, what a difference it would make to our lives if we appropriated this truth more than perhaps we do. That we realize that when we go to school or college or work, that God, an all-powerful God, is with us. It's interesting, isn't it, when you read the Old Testament in particular, and some of these men being given incredible tasks, the one thing that God seems to really want to impress upon them is that he is with them. And because he is with them, then they have nothing to fear. Because Jesus is God, God is with us. Thirdly, this morning, because Jesus is God, we have a Saviour whom we can trust. We have a Saviour whom we can trust. You see, God cannot lie. All his promises are trustworthy. A little while ago, I was watching on YouTube, a panel discussion. Lots of capable Christian pastors and scholars were sitting on the platform, and the church was packed. It was a Christian conference that was being run. And there was a little girl, probably 10 or 11, that had put a question to the panel. And the question was read out. Now, this little girl had asked a question without realizing that she had assumed something that wasn't correct about God. I can't remember exactly what the question was, but in her question, she had assumed that God can do all things. Now, the gentleman that answered her question was very kind and gracious and gentle or tender in the way that he responded. He didn't want to discourage her in any way, but he did feel that before he could answer her question, that he needed to explain to her that God cannot do all things.
He said, God is all powerful.
God can do what is humanly impossible, but there are lots of things that God can't do. He can't sin. He can't act unrighteously. He can't lie. He can't cease to be who he is. He cannot deny himself. Because Jesus is God, he cannot lie. Indeed, he never lied. Everything that he said was true. And therefore we can trust everything that he said about the Old Testament being God's word. We can trust everything that he said about himself. I am the way, and the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We can trust everything that he said about heaven and hell, and pardon and judgment. We can trust everything that he said about us. Maybe that there's someone here this morning that isn't a Christian. Well, I'm glad that you are here, but I want to say this, that you can trust what the Lord Jesus says to you. He says that you are a sinner. He says that you need to be forgiven. He says that he died in order that sinners might be forgiven, and that you need to trust in him because there is a hell to be feared and a heaven to be gained. Do not dismiss his words. To dismiss his words is to dismiss the words of God. We have a Saviour in whom we can trust. Fourthly and lastly, we have a Saviour who will keep us. We have a Saviour who is able to keep us. Jesus had to be God in order to save us from our sins, you see. Salvation is of the Lord and not a created being. It's difficult to see how Jesus could have lived a perfect life and borne the weight of our sin if he had not been God. Of course, he also had to be a man in order to offer himself as a proper substitute, a proper sacrifice. A man had to die in the place of men. A bull or a goat simply would not do. But we are focusing, of course, upon his deity this morning rather than his humanity, important as that is. Now, Christian friends, we are joined to Jesus Christ through faith and find ourselves enjoying the benefits of his death and resurrection. And that's wonderful. But I believe that we can have confidence in Jesus to keep us right up until the end. Until the day when we enter safely into heaven. You see, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And he will not lose one that the Father has given to him. Listen to the words of Jesus. John 10:27-30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. They're safe in God's hand, in Emmanuel's hand. And no devil, no false teaching wolf can pluck us from it. He will enable us to persevere. He will continue the work that he has begun in us and bring it to completion. My favorite illustration is one that some of you will have heard me give a number of times before, but I don't mind repeating it. It's the one where Naomi, my little daughter, would cross the road with me when she was little. You see, I would instruct her to take hold of my hand and to trust me in order that we might cross the road together. But her safekeeping wasn't dependent upon her ability to keep hold of my hand. No, her safekeeping was dependent upon my big hand, my strong hand being committed to holding on to her so that she came to know harm. But the Christian here this morning, isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus has us, as it were, in his hand? And that he won't lose any that the Father has given to him. He will keep hold of us. He'll not let us go, despite all of Satan's attempts to get us to turn our back upon him and depart from the faith. He will not let us go. He'll lead us by the hand all the way home. I wish I had time to say more this morning. I think there is so much more that could be said. But what a Saviour we have. What a God we have. He is Christ the Lord. Let me finish by quoting the verse that we've been focusing on this morning. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.